Hey everyone, Brando here.
And Mike.
And we host the Game Addicts Podcast,
a show about modern and retro video games
that we play and collect.
Now, here's some vital information for you.
Our podcast is found on podcast services around the globe, such as iTunes,
Podbean,
Stitcher Radio,
and YouTube.
Check us out every Thursday for a new episode.
But wait,
there's more. If you pledge to the Journey to Comics Network Patreon, you get early access to the audio version of the show up to a week early.
So what are you waiting for?
It's time to level up and check out the Game Addicts Podcast today. The following is a Journey to Comics Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, the podcast about everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips and Brandon Stone.
We've come a long way from the Prime Minister's exploding cake. Or have we?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Journey into Comics. I'm your host, Nate. Today, it's episode 155. Joining me, as always, the Yoshi to my Mario, Brando!
Yoshi!
How's it going, my friend?
It's going pretty good. You know, it's nice late Friday evening here for us as we record episode 155 of the Journey into Comics podcast right here on the Journey into Comics Network.
Cheap plug. Bow! Brando, speaking of the network, ever since we got this network, podcasting feels like it's weird. It happens so fast. It feels like I'm listening to new episodes of all these great shows we have coming out. And then the next thing I know, I'm on a podcast talking to you right now in real time, and I'm like, holy shit, I have to not think about all the other awesome podcasts. I was jamming and just focus right here today on what we're speaking upon today.
Yeah, definitely, man. Well, I mean, we got some stuff to talk about. You know, things have happened. Some things have been coming to light. And then, of course, we had Game of Thrones finale. We've been talking about that the last couple of weeks. So we're going to definitely hit on that a little bit here today with a finale that happened last week. But shoot, man, like hearing all this weird talk. Of course, last week we talked about the Joker and all of the stuff kind of going on there. And now we hear that their WB might be interested in Leonardo DiCaprio as a Joker.
Yeah, Brando, this is a funny thing to me because I was telling you this off air, but it's like I feel like Geoff Johns just got really high and was like, you know what? I want to win a bunch of Oscars, but like, with the Joker. And then he just started assembling his most all-star cast. He went to the board. He's like, who's the most classic director? He looked at Spielberg. He's like, nah, Spielberg doesn't want to do the Joker. That doesn't make any fucking sense. He's like, looking, who do I want to go with? Kevin Smith, probably not the right choice either. Boom, Martin Scorsese. Now it's going to be a mobster-type movie. And then now they're like, well, who does Martin Scorsese work best with? We've seen him in The Departed. We've seen him in Wolf of Wall Street. It's brought out some of his best character work. And Leo DiCaprio is a very viable option in this thing they're trying to make, I think.
You know, I don't know, man. I don't know if that's the first place I would go exactly would be Leo. But then again, it gets to the point as I'm getting older in my ways and in my life, I'm starting to lose touch with all of the new and upcoming actors. Because I remember, I think it was like last week, when we were like, let's fantasy cast the Joker. And I'm just like, Sylvester Stallone, because he's got like a slur. I don't know, man. I don't know exactly what, like where or how I would go. But Leo's interesting. Now is this going to be is the Scorsese movie? Is this going to be the origin story for a Joker?
From what I understand, yeah, that's the plan. They're trying to tell an origin of the Joker. Where does he come from? Where does he go? Where does he come from? Cotton Eye Joker.
How high did you get before we started recording?
Whoa. No, I just, you know, I don't know. I'm just riffing, Brando.
That was the, like, that's like a worse dad joke than I've come up with lately.
You know, they do call me Papa Nate, right? Because I'm a very old man, so.
Yeah, dude, I heard all your old man noises earlier when you got up to go to the bathroom.
Don't make fun of me for my old man noises, Brando. I'm just huffing and puffing. I spent today at Dad's house slaving away on the house trying to get that motherfucker complete. We've been working on it for a little over a year now, as you know. And I'm really excited to podcast today. But I want to talk more about the Joker. So you fantasy cast the Joker, and now it's like this rumor is it's going to be Leo DiCaprio. If you're putting any other members of the Batman verse in this story, who's playing whom? And who, like, I can't even fathom who they're going to try to cast as other characters. Like, are there going to be other villains? Is Batman showing up? Like, is it going to be all this weird origin story that has nothing to do with the Batman verse whatsoever?
If I were in charge, maybe Gordon. I would involve the Gotham City Police Department, but I wouldn't involve the Bat. Mm-mm. I would keep him out of it. I would keep the focus solely on the character creation of the Joker. But what I was saying earlier is that this is supposed to be an origin story of the Joker, and that they were doing a young Joker movie. Leo's not young.
You're fucking right about that, Brando.
He's getting old, man.
He's getting up there. I mean, I don't know if you saw The Revenant, but he looked old as shit in that movie.
Yeah, you know, makeup and stuff like that. He doesn't look that bad. But what I'm saying is that if they're going, like, you would think they would go for a much younger actor than Leo. No offense to, I enjoy his acting. He's done a very, very good job in his career. But, you know, it's not like they casted Ben Affleck to play a young Batman.
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder how old DiCaprio really is.
I'm going to say Leonardo DiCaprio is 43. That's my guess. You know, Brando, the other thing here to think about is you're looking at this universe, and what if we get like a realization that the Joker character keeps getting revitalized by Ra's or something? Ra's al Ghul, as it were, depending on how you say that.
I say Ra's. He's 42.
I said 43. Ain't bad.
Yeah, man, you're almost right on the money.
I think about it, Brando. I'm just like, I'm thinking about it, and I get a little lost. If you're telling the true origin story of the Joker, you have to tell the Red Hood story. The original Red Hood, like, that has to be a part of it. And then that just starts to put together, like, what if it's a totally different Joker origin based on an older, like, Joker in the world?
What if, since DiCaprio, if it is Leonardo DiCaprio, and he started on a sitcom called Growing Pains, but the theme song starts with "Show me that smile again."
Creepy. Oh, and he's like a scarred child star. Oh my god, that's fucked up. Do you want to know how I got these scars?
I was on set. With Michael Seaver.
And I bent down to pick up something and the door opened.
And his friend Boner came over.
Oh, damn it. You got me again. Oh, man.
That always messed with me, watching Growing Pains as a kid.
Why would you call him Boner?
I don't know. That always messed with me.
There's literally a horde of kittens on my security system right now. I'm seeing them. It's crazy.
It's a horde.
I want you to know that it is two. It is two kittens. But it is definitely a kitten horde.
I just that thought of like the Whisperer War from The Walking Dead, just replaced with kittens. And then like all these kittens busting down the damn gate of Alexandria.
Would a zombie apocalypse of kittens, like, would they meow? Or would they brains? Or, like, how would that work? Ooh, that's creepy. That's like when the cat's fighting in the back alley, like,
oh, I know, dude, yeah. And they, dude, yeah, man, it's like, it's like, there's always just like two of them, and they're just like sitting there, and they just stare at each other, and they just go, and then they just get this really crazy squeal pitch, like whoa, dude, what the heck's going on out there? And you just hear these damn cats go at it, and there's usually just one sitting there going like, I just want to sit here, bro. Like, this is my trash can. Get off the trash can. No, man. I just want to sit here. Get off my fucking trash can, dude. And then I'm
hungry, and I'm trying to get inside.
And then dude just like smacks the crap out of him. There's always one cat that is like the aggressor. The other one's like, dude, I'm just trying to chill.
Was that just a cat meow?
No, that was my chair. But yeah, it did actually kind of sound like a distant, like.
It did. I was like,
I do have dogs barking in the background. I've got my door open. It's really nice out at this time of night, you know, in the high 50s, man. Fall is on the way, and it's hitting pretty quickly. It seems like September 1st, a little switch went off. It's like, click, all right, now it's, you know, end of summer has now started. That's a cat.
That is actually the catpocalypse coming to get us, Brando. Hey, man, we're talking about the Joker, and we know that there's this Scorsese movie coming out. Maybe it's got, Leo DiCaprio. But let's talk about another Joker. Dude, what do you think about Jared Leto saying he's not really thrilled they're looking to cast more Jokers in the DCEU, as it were?
I don't blame him because it's confusing as hell. No matter how you feel about Jared Leto, dude, or playing the Joker, it is confusing when you're saying, well, we're going to have that Joker, then we're going to have this one. He's going to be a different Joker. He's going to be a Martin Scorsese Joker, a gangster Joker. And I can see Leto just going, the fuck, dude, I'm supposed to be playing the Joker. And again, as I said, no matter if you liked it or didn't like it, that's besides the point. It's just, I know that we've said you can do these cool little multiverses and stuff, but the your normal everyday movie going audience isn't going to understand that until we get there. Doing it now and then correlating it back later makes no sense. You're going to confuse the audience and then wonder why Leonardo DiCaprio is a Joker, and then in the next movie that you go see Harley Quinn in has Jared Leto's Joker, and you're just like, wait a minute.
Well, I think it's weird because I think this is a big power play, and I think they're trying to – it's weird because I know they just announced these movies, but what did you think was going to happen? Like, they're gonna push Jared Leto out of the role as the Joker, I think, inevitably. I think that's where we're headed. He is showed his displeasure already, and you encompass that he's not happy – with the fact that he was improperly used in Suicide Squad. Yeah, they guaranteed him two movies, but those movies are overshadowed by the fact that Martin Scorsese's doing another Joker movie that has nothing to do with Leto, and that's a big slight to Leto. Like, hey, you're this actor and you're supposed to be revered or whatever, but Martin Scorsese says he doesn't want to work with you. They didn't say you're getting cast that role. They gave you the other bullshit roles. You know, and I think that it's really weird how everything's happening. I feel like right now DC is a giant, giant playset of dominoes, and they're getting ready to all topple over in the worst way. You know, one wrong move.
I mean, it seems like they've been one wrong move since BVS, really. And then they had another wrong move with Suicide Squad.
Yeah, and I mean, then they stepped up their game, and they hit it out of the park with Wonder Woman. Again, I'll say it's a really good movie. I don't think that Jared Leto is going to... I feel like Leto is in a interesting position here, because if they really want Jared Leto to stay, he's going to make some demands they're going to have to meet. And if they really don't want Jared Leto to stay, it doesn't matter what his demands are. It really doesn't, because they're not going to budge. This is what they want. This is what they've set in motion.
I guess only time will tell and see how this thing kind of comes down, because, you know, we're talking about it like it's fact, but neither DiCaprio or Scorsese have signed on for anything.
Really? Scorsese isn't official?
I didn't think he was. I thought that that's just conjecture, and that's what they wanted.
Oh.
That they were seeking him, not that they were...
Oh, okay. Well, I did not know that. I hopefully did not impose the wrong news upon our audience. That's my fault. Let's switch over here. I've got a couple, like, random headlines I want to throw your way, Brando. I don't know if you saw this. Did you see who's leading the Avengers now?
Thanos.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah, he defeats a bunch of Avengers and then says Avengers Assemble at the end of beating up a bunch of Avengers. That would be like, okay, honestly, that's like, that would be like Chris Jericho back in WCW days, going into the NWO, kicking everyone's ass, and then putting on the shirt. And then going, for life, you know? Like, I just beat all your asses. What?
We're taking over.
Speaking of Journey into Wrestling, you can listen to that on the network, Brando. We just released episode 1 of season 2.
Yes, we have.
Because we're back.
And we're taking over.
Oh, that was perfect.
Oh, man.
But that's crazy to think that. Okay, if the let me, I want you to follow my train of thought here for a second. If the comic books are following, or if the movies are following the comic books, I said that out of order. Then that means maybe at some point Thanos leads the Avengers. What does that mean? And then also, I don't know, because I didn't read Thanos 10 yet. I haven't got around to it. Does that mean that Thanos, like, actually got people to rally behind him? Because then that has a whole other, like, question of, like, he just kicked a bunch of Avengers' asses, and then some Avengers joined him? Like, oh, shit, he's the guy. He whipped all their asses. Like, that's very bizarre to me.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. Like, when I saw the... Like, I saw the headline, it was like, wait a minute, Captain America and Hydra, Thanos and the Avengers, what's going on around here? It's like Bizarro World. And then that made me think of C-Lab 2021's, like, Bizarro! And they just all said, they just kept saying, like, you had, like, the evil versions of all the characters, like, Bizarro!
Bizarro!
And then you had, like, Dr. Quinn, who's like the resident black guy on C-Lab 2021. And then like his version, his Bizarro hatched from an egg. And it was a white ginger version who was half, who was half duck.
That is Bizarro, my friend.
Dude, that show, I don't think it gets enough love. I used to watch that show when Adult Swim first came on, wondering what the hell I was watching, but still somehow thoroughly entertained.
Fig Nuts. Right? Fig Nuts? Fig Nuts. Oh my God, that cat is very loud. Wow.
Yeah, it's Gohan.
Wow, he's very impassioned right now. He's like, let me in.
I just remember how, like, they had, like, the first episode is about this discussion about, like, robots, like, putting brains into robot bodies. And it was like, if I put my brain in a robot body, and there's a war, robots against humans, which side am I on? Like, human, you were human first, but now, but they've turned against you, you know? And meanwhile, C-Lab is just blowing up, and they're just having this conversation, like, don't even care. And they're like, but what if a robot commits murder? And so then they go to some guy who's, like, an authority on the matter, and he's like, the punishment for a robot murdering a human would be 1,000 years frozen in carbonite. Like, 1,000 years in carbonite? That'd be so cold. And the captain's like, yeah, my nipples are hard just thinking about it. And then they say a few of their lines, and one of them says, and like, oh, and but then it's back to the carbonite, and he goes, oh, there go my nipples again. Oh, I love that. It's just so stupid, but I love it.
I love the creation of that show too. The idea that they, you know, they took old footage from C-Lab 2020, right?
Yeah.
And then they just did different voiceover work for it.
They did. Well, yeah, they edited it to make their own thing, and they even added in new animation.
I actually didn't know they added new animation. That's awesome.
Yeah, they, you know, like, they ended up doing that more and more later on, especially when the guy that played the captain, I can't remember his name, Murphy, maybe. He ended up passing away, like the old guy. Because I guess when he got the role, he was diagnosed with cancer.
Damn.
So he did like 2 or 3 seasons, and then he ended up passing away.
Shit, I didn't know that, actually. That's crazy.
But I looked up, and it says that Scorsese produced movie. Martin Scorsese produced Joker movie, wants DiCaprio to star, is the name of the headline from AMP over at IndieWire.com. And it's like, so Warner Brothers made headlines last week when it announced that it was developing a standalone Joker movie to be directed by the Hangover filmmaker Todd Phillips and shockingly produced by Martin Scorsese. The latter's involvement was head scratching, as Scorsese has never shown interest in making a major studio, you know, tentpole or superhero film. But the Hollywood Reporter has uncovered major reason as to why Warner Brothers wanted Scorsese behind the scenes, and that was in hopes to lure DiCaprio.
Damn.
So the whole thing was to, like, bring him in just to try and get DiCaprio.
So they're really, really pushing to have Leo DiCaprio as the Joker. This is shaping up to be something really very interesting, Rando.
It is, and you know what I see when I see DiCaprio's face? I'll show it to you. Young Jack Nicholson Joker, almost.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. That would be an amazing place to do an origin story. Jack Napier.
Even though his origin story is pretty much the 89 Batman film.
Yeah, but I mean...
But I mean, you could go further back.
I mean, yeah. I didn't even think about it like that.
But like, that'd be an interesting way to remake that movie. Is to tell it maybe from before and leading until the end. The end would be him meeting the bat for the first time and then being dropped into the chemicals.
Yes.
And having it be an awful end for him with the affair with, you know, Grissom and everything, and have it, you know, he's this gangster and it's leading up and it's building and it's building, and you're seeing the rise of Jack Napier and Grissom's, you know, organization leading up to the boiling point for when the bat first starts coming around. And then he only appears right at the very end when he has the one-on-one confrontation with Napier and ends up dropping him into the chemicals.
Oh, it would be awesome.
And then that's the end of the movie. And of course, the end of the movie, like they did in the 89 film with the hand coming up from like the
with
sewer.
With the bubbles. Oh, man. That could be really awesome, Brando. See, I didn't even think about it like that. But that's a great place to tell the story. You can, like you said, tell the backstory of the love affair, tell the backstory of all the stuff that's going on in that universe. I don't know. Do you have anything else DC that you can really think about off the top of your head that we should really discuss?
Not really. Sidebar from that. Of course, Jason Momoa is playing Aquaman, and he was also on tap to play the Crow in the reboot of the Crow. And apparently, the Crow found its home at Sony Pictures, which is not necessarily the most positive of news with how Sony Pictures has been handling their films as of late. I mean, I would not be surprised to see Sony Pictures as a whole not exist in 10 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. In 10 years, Brando, there's only going to be two movie studios anyways.
Yeah.
WB and Marvel.
WB and Disney.
That's what I meant to say. WB and Disney, yep.
Oh, wait, there might still be Fox.
Maybe. Maybe there will be Fox. But maybe not. I don't know. If you don't have anything else, DC, real quick for just a couple minutes here, I want to talk about, one thing we've never really got in the Avengers movies yet. We've seen them a couple times appear together. We haven't gotten a deep dive into the Scarlet Witch Vision love story. And I really am hopeful that they are going to do something with those characters. Because in the comics, they, you know, get married, they have children, all this stuff, and there's interesting history with them. And those characters grow so much together. And really, when you think about Vision, you always think about Scarlet Witch and vice versa. So I'm hopeful that they really bring it to the table in the Avengers 3 and 4 that are coming out and give us some really, like, I know it's cheesy to say, but, like, you're going to tell a fucking big blockbuster, the world is ending, everything is doom and gloom. There has to be a great love story in there.
Yeah.
It'll just make it. And where does that come from? It's not going to come from Pepper and Tony. They haven't had enough interaction together on the positive side, and their relationship has fallen apart a couple times over at this point. What would hurt the most? Fresh love, staring each other in the face in the blink of destruction, you know?
And we already know that Tony pretty much gets his ass kicked in this first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
That's coming up. So we don't even know if he is going to survive this first movie.
Man, and then that's another thing, Brando, I thought about it. Like, what happens? You have to start talking about recasting these characters. They're getting older. We've talked about this on the show several times. But, like, to me, what if they don't necessarily kill off the Iron Man character, but he just kind of goes into retirement? Like, he can't do it anymore. And they start introducing, like, oh, well, we don't need an Iron Man because now we have a Captain Marvel who's 10 times the badass that Iron Man was. And she doesn't have a fucking suit. And is also attractive Brie Larson.
Well, I would actually love to see them kill Tony Stark.
It would make for levity in the story. It would make for drama in the story. He's the fucking cornerstone of your universe.
And kill him. Kill him.
Exactly.
In the most dramatic fashion that you can ever do. This character is what started everything. This character brought Spider-Man back into the fold. And you're going to take this character and you're going to kill him and do it near the end of that first part, where that's going to bring people back because now Iron Man is dead. Now Tony's not dead because Tony, I would keep Tony alive as an AI, so that way he could still be involved. But you know, the Tony and Iron Man that we know is dead.
And how crazy would that be that Tony will have started the universe as a person that becomes an AI, and in the movies he will have given life to a AI that becomes a person? Kinda. Like, it's like, it is very full circle. Again, I love that concept. What else are you hoping for out of this movie, man? You've got so many characters. No, it's weird. I did a count on the posters from San Diego Comic-Con, and I think I counted 22 characters in the posters. And that was all the characters I knew that were in the MCU as of right now. And they said they're looking upwards of 57 Avengers being in this movie. That number is astronomical. That means they've got to have tons of people that they haven't announced yet. And they've got to have shit up their sleeve.
Ant-Man is up their sleeve.
But Ant-Man, well, that's very plausible, because he can be very tiny.
That's exactly what I was going for. I was being very literal.
Yeah, he could just be so small and fit in the crevasse. Oh, he could probably fit in where the needle goes for sewing.
What's that called?
I can't think of it. I don't sew. Sorry.
We do not sew.
Out of all my different skills, that's one I've never picked up. I probably should. I would love to make, like, fucking cosplays, honestly.
You didn't catch it, did you?
I did not catch it at all.
We do not sew is the family motto of the Greyjoys from Game of Thrones.
Yes, it is. Oh my god, we have to talk about Game of Thrones, Brandon.
Yes, we do.
Here's the fucked up thing, Brando. I have already heard you talk about Game of Thrones season finale a lot. Lucky for me, I am a self-patronizing patron. That's not true. I mean, oh shit. Anyways,
I may die tomorrow, or I may die whenever I'm supposed to die.
Yeah, I could die tomorrow, or I'm gonna die whenever I'm supposed to die. It's gonna happen eventually. That's how this thing works. But no, Brando, to me, like, I had to go and listen to the Podcastrophe episode 2. And if you're a patron, you can listen to that early access episode 2 right now. It comes out next week for us, Brando, I think, right?
As you hear this on launch day on JourneyIntoComics.com or on the regular podcast network feed, then the Podcastrophe will launch on Tuesday. So if you're hearing this on launch day, it'll be tomorrow that you will want to check into that.
Gotcha. But if you want early access, which you should, you guys got to check it out. It's awesome. You guys dove deep. You had, it was Blaine, who's the host over there, Blaine Tyner. Nick Maxson was on, and he's been on our show several times. And then you were the training wheels for a second episode. How was that?
It was just fine. It's funny because the first episode we went really deep. And personally, in this episode, we went really deep into Game of Thrones. And it was cool because you had some guy who's just watched the show, some guy who's just watched the show, but heavily read into the lore, and then some guy who's read the show, you know, read the books and seen the show. And so we got multiple perspectives, and it was pretty cool.
Man, you guys were so knowledgeable. It's such a great conversation. I did not get to be a part of that conversation. I luckily got to listen to it, though. Now I get to talk with you about it, Brando. That season finale was holy shit.
You know what? It was. I was very, very satisfied with this season finale. I was very satisfied with this season altogether, even with the very fast travel that's going on. It makes sense because they've already discovered the map. They've already gone almost everywhere. They're not over encumbered with too many things. So, you know, they don't want to travel all the way across the map. You know, things are starting to get too the end game here. So we're traveling a little bit faster than we would be. I can kind of forgive it, though. This season was just off the chart. But with this finale, it felt a little bit more of a film-like finale where it stayed with one story for so long. I was wondering when they were going to go and change it and switch gears because I was like, man, we've been with these guys for a while.
Yeah, this season finale was really cool because one thing I want to say, Brando, is it's weird to me that there are people that actually have been hating on season 7 of Game of Thrones. I don't know if you saw the Rick and Morty thing, RIP Game of Thrones writing seasons 1 through 6, like all this shit, people giving it flack. And I'm like, look, we have spent 6 fucking seasons with the slow fucking burn and the slow fucking payoff that takes forever. I'm so grateful that we're at a point now where they're just giving us everything we want. Every single thing we wanted in the finale, we got. I mean, from the beginning where you've got, you know, they're taking the white to Cersei. And I fucking love the Hound. He's hilarious. I heard the actor that plays the Hound, Brando, they don't tell him to say cunt. And actually, they try to tell him not to say cunt. But he says it anyways because he doesn't care. So it's like he improvises the word cunt. Which I loved that line with something about the Lannisters' plan to lead us all to death. There's some Lannister cunt. And then Tyrion says, and there's always some Clegane cunt following right behind to carry out the order or something.
Yeah.
I just loved that. I loved the whole interaction with it's all Cox in the end, talking about Jamie and Bronn discussing stuff in the lead in to the beginning. This episode was really good about. I know I'm just like railroading over my thoughts here, mainly because I really 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 want to get out these little things that I have quickly. But like, I felt like everything that happened in the episode was really great. From like Euron leaving because of the white and seeing he's like, this shit terrified me. Like, I've seen shit that you wouldn't believe, and this is my one thing. We later learn that that's a double cross, which is genius writing. Then you've got the whole, John says, look, I've already bent the knee to one queen, and I can't have two queens, so I'm going to be loyal as my father, Ned Stark, who's not my father at all. But that's aside the point. We're going to get into that in a minute, Brando. I overall, like, if I were to talk about this show, like, one of my favorite moments was one of the last moments of the episode leading into the end with Bran talking to Samwell.
Yeah, we finally got some payoff for the big reveal on the last season that dangled the carrot, and we got it in the last, like, 10 minutes of this season.
Yeah, and I mean, the carrot they gave us was scrumptious, because they don't just say, oh, hey, man, like, I'm the Three-Eyed Raven, and this is what happened, John's really Aegon, and that's all I know. Like, they set it up so nicely, because it was like, in Bran's eyes, John is still a bastard. But he's a Targaryen. And he's going to be Jon Sand.
Yeah, well, yeah, because he would have been born in Dorne. Now, I kind of like talked about this on Podcastrophe where I was like, he sort of looked at it and went, oh, all right, and then moved on to other stuff. Because
correct.
He
just.
Because then Sam kind of tells him, well, wait, hold up. Check this out. I got this thing. And then Bran's like, what? He goes, well, can you look it up? And then Bran Wikipedia's real quick and goes, oh, I missed that.
We actually went back to the tower scene with Ned, with Bran actually going deep in there and really finding out what's going on.
Yeah, that's when Lyanna says his name is Aegon Targaryen. Please take care of him. And, of course, Ned brings the baby back as his own and names him Jon Snow as a bastard and to protect him from the Baratheon, from Robert and the Lannisters. Now, here's something that's interesting. I can't remember when and where I talked about this. I can't remember if I talked about it on Podcastrophe or if I've talked about it after Podcastrophe or just yesterday. I can't remember. It was a close-up shot of the letter Jon Snow sent home to Sansa. Have you seen it?
No.
Okay. Did I talk about that on?
I don't think I recall this, no.
Okay, so pretty cool tidbit. So somebody shared the close-up picture of the Raven letter, right? Basically says, right. Hey, you know, Cersei Lannister has pledged her forces to ours. That's a lie. he doesn't know that yet, but it is a lie. So Cersei has pledged it. They're going to march north. I'm coming north with Daenerys Targaryen, who has also pledged herself to help our cause, in which in turn I have now pledged our loyalty to Daenerys Targaryen as the rightful queen of the Seven Kingdoms. And he signs it, Jon Snow, Warden of the North.
Warden of the North. So does that mean he is officially given Sansa Winterfell?
No. He has officially dropped his title of King of the North.
He's fucking Ned Stark.
He has the same title right now as Ned had in the beginning and held since the Robert Rebellion. Him doing that tells you that he has him bending the knee. He's serious about it. Him bending the knee means he's not going to be king. He's going to follow Daenerys. She's going to be the queen, and that's not going to settle well with others. I don't think. I think there's going to be a little bit of a problem with that, and even bigger so when it's revealed to Jon who he really is and his claim to the throne. Here's the thing. I don't think that he wants it because he never wants it. He never once wants it. He wants, you know, he didn't want to be Lord Commander. He was Lord Commander, you know, in a way he did, but then he didn't. And then they named him King of the North. People always follow him and then they prop him up and then he has to do things because it's the right thing to do. And so I feel like that exact same story is going to play again. He is the rightful heir to the throne. He doesn't want it. Danny, have it. Go for it. Fact. And I have a feeling that once he tells, like once he tells her, I don't want it, then she's going to be like, well, maybe we can have it together. It's not going to be that way.
No.
Because right now, I'm going to tell you what I think is going to happen in Game of Thrones.
Sure.
Did you read the theory about the prince that was promised from the Lord of Light?
Mm-mm.
The prince that was promised, who was originally the Red Woman thought was Stannis, pulls Lightbringer, right? Lightbringer's supposed to cast out the night. Because the night is dark and full of terrors.
Okay.
All right. What we then have is that Lightbringer must be forged from the heart or from the blood of their lover, of their love.
Right.
If John is that prince that was promised, he's going to have to kill Daenerys.
Oh, no, that can't happen. That's something that we can't have happen. Come on now.
Daenerys is the queen because John says, no, I don't want it. You take it. You know?
Yep.
But then he has to kill her. He saves the day, saves the realm, and then is now the rightful king of the Seven Kingdoms, as such as his birthright. He sits on the Iron Throne, brokenhearted and alone.
Ugh. Brutal. It's possible, though, Brandon. I mean, I really like that theory. It seems like it plays into the bittersweetness of everything that George R.R. said. The series is going to end bittersweet. I think that seasons 1-7 is like the main chunk of the story, like the thick fattiness of the book. And then like season 8 is going to be the epilogue, but it's going to be like the most epic epilogue that really wraps everything up. A couple other things I want to say is, like, it's interesting to me to note that Jaime has more allies with Jon Snow and all of them than he has in King's Landing at this point.
Right.
And I loved him riding off. That was so fucking awesome. Like, well, you know what? It's time. I'm a man of my word, and I'm so goddamn sick of my word getting taken away because of you, who wants everyone to know that we're fucking when I'm not really cool with it.
Yeah, dude. I absolutely love that as well. And if you guys want to hear more talk on Game of Thrones, not just the finale, but also the entirety of Season 7, check out Podcastrophe 2, Game of King Chairs, Season 7 review.
Yeah, right here on the network. Yeah, gotta keep that joke going.
Yeah, gotta keep that going. Indeed, you can check it out right here on the network, or you can check it out on Patreon, however you wish, man. Definitely want you to check out that episode. There is a new pop vinyl coming out of The Night King. It's a new pop vinyl rides, and his ride is the dragon.
Oh God, Brandon, that fucking breathed blue fire. It was so cool. It was also terrifying. I'm really happy, though, because I'm pretty sure Tormund isn't dead.
No, he's not.
And that's really good, because I like Tormund quite a bit, and I was really bummed at first, but he's cool. But that dragon fucks shit up really fast.
Yes, and, indeed.
One thing I also want to say is, to further my theory on the Night King being Bran Stark, how is it that the ravens all showed up literal seconds before? Like, you mean to tell me that he was just sitting there watching, knowing what was coming, and he didn't stop it? What does that mean? Why did you do that, Bran? I think it's because he's starting to figure out he is the Night King. And then also, I know, I don't believe this so much, but some fans have saw, like, the House Stark sigil in the whites walking after they're across the wall. I looked at the picture, Brando. I didn't really see it as much, but some people say it's there. What do you think?
Never even heard of that.
Really? You didn't see that? Okay, so there's an aerial shot of the walkers marching towards Winterfell, I would assume. And it's an over-the-head shot, like crow view, essentially. And they say that it's shaped like the outer border is shaped like the wolf sigil for House Stark.
Huh.
And that's another little tease to let you know it's Bran, is that it's... I looked at the picture myself. Personally, I don't think that's the case, but that's what they're saying online in speculation. I think it might be total bullshit. Cersei's a fucking crazy bitch, Brando.
I mean, she's been a crazy bitch since the beginning of the show.
But I want to say something that you guys did not touch on. And I was very surprised, actually. But you guys know Tyrion straight up betrayed Daenerys, right? Like, the reason that Cersei said she was pledging her fealty to help them go beyond the wall is because Tyrion told her to lie to them. It was his plan. It ensures that his sister, who he doesn't want to see killed, stays alive as much as she wants him dead. It allows him to make sure she stays alive, that the only possible child their family could have, the last possible Lannister, Brando, really, the last Lannister could be born from Cersei and Jaime. And Tyrion said, no, I can't risk you. Like, you lie to them. You tell them you go. I mean, literally, Tyrion minutes before has a speech to Jon Snow telling him specifically, learn to lie a little bit, man. Like, what the hell? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
So I think that Daenerys has been betrayed again. But I think this one's lesser. I think this one is going to only sting a little bit. But Tyrion is not going to be surprised when Jaime tells them, there are no four, I am all the forces. It's me. And maybe Bronn. Because Bronn, you know, goes where the money's good.
Yeah, right.
And obviously, Dragon Queen, the money might end up being pretty good. So that's my kind of my theory. I don't know. I loved the Lord Baelish scene.
Absolutely.
Oh, brother, it was so fucking just a tasty, tasty morsel of awesomeness. Because you're sitting there, and it seems like Sansa is setting Arya up to die. And I was thinking, like, man, are they going to kind of, like, do some weird parallel to Ned betraying the throne? But it's, like, reverse, and she's now taking out her own family. But they had already outsmarted Littlefinger, and really, we should have known that was coming because Bran tips us off back when he says chaos is a ladder earlier in the season.
Yeah.
He literally said right then that they already knew. They already had a beat on what's up with Littlefinger because, of course, Bran went and told Sansa and Arya, hey, just so you know, if you're really wanting to find out where this all started, Lord Baelish is the one that turned our houses against each other. And Lord Baelish is really the reason that all this shit has come to light. But man, when she said, you know, you're being charged with murder and treason, you know, how do you feel or whatever? And he was just stuck. He had been hit in the fucking head with a shovel and had no idea what to do. But for the first time, you really see the real... It's like the weasel that you knew was in him didn't come out till he dropped to his knees.
Yeah.
But as soon as he was like, I'll explain everything away. Just let's go privately talk away from everyone else so I can privately explain all the things and whisper all the right words to you in the moment. And like saying that he loved her. I mean, God... He was the most weaselly in his weasel, and I love that Arya got to cross that name off the list and take care of business.
Well, his name was never on the list.
His name wasn't on her list, but, I mean, I think it might have been once she got to Winterfell, like, in this season. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, because she knew he was playing with Sansa and fucking with her head.
Yeah, but it wasn't until it was confirmed that he had betrayed Ned and caused the death of their father
that's true.
That she was like, yep, okay, you're dead.
Oh, but man, was it sweet poetic justice.
Quite so. I really enjoyed that whole scene and just how the show showed you only one side of this confrontation as far as like leading up. So we didn't see the other parts of the conversation. We only saw enough that to deceive us into believing what they wanted us to see, and not see them turning on Baylor so quickly.
Yeah, no, it was so subtle, and I love that. I love that it, there's some mystery in it, man. It made for great drama. I'll say it again. The people, like, no offense, but like, kind of fuck you to the people that think that the writing was bad this season. I think the writing was spectacular. Like, yes, please give me all of the things that I want. Yes, I want to see an undead dragon. Yes, I want to see Jon Snow fuck Daenerys Targaryen. I don't care if they're... We only just found that out and he doesn't even know. And I think that's another thing that's really weird. This whole show's big fucking war really starts because fucking incest fucking between the Lannisters, and they push Bran out the window. And now they wrap season 7 with, you know, Daenerys getting plowed by Jon Snow, Aegon Targaryen, in case you missed it, folks. By the way, I love the, hey, we're 2 hours into this podcast, let me now yell spoiler alert like it fucking matters. So yeah, there are tons of spoilers for this episode too, also. I'm sure you probably figured that out. I love Theon's rise to, I'm saying I love all the scenes, and I'm just naming all the scenes, but like, the Theon scene was super special because he has been, he was a dick, you know, he was like a, when he starts, he's this, you know, just a part of Winterfell, and he's one of the guys, and then there's the betrayal, and then he's kind of this, like, wannabe badass, thinking that he's the heir of the Greyjoys that's going to take and change the, you know, the Iron Islands, and then, you know, the thing happens with Ramsay Bolton and the whole reek torture and eating his own dick and all that stuff, and the fake escape just to put him back in prison, which was super fucked up. And then to have him have his sister, and then his sister gets taken, and Euron, you know, and like everything that's happened with Theon has been an up and down progression. And to me, I loved him just finally being like, no, don't fucking do this for me. Do it for Yara. This dumb motherfucker kicked me in a place that I don't feel anything because I got my dick chopped off. You dumb bastards.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, to see him, to see the... He's an interesting character because he's one of those long burn characters, just like Jon, just like Daenerys. And Tyrion, and I guess Jaime and Cersei too, that have been going since season 1, and have evolved heavily.
Yeah, man, and like I said, Theon, I think it's interesting because almost much like Jaime, you learn to hate Theon, and then you almost learn to like not only feel sorry for him, but almost like root for him. Yeah. Like, God damn it, man. It's going to be okay, dude. But I'm not kidding. When he fucking dove off that boat, I was laughing because it was just so typical of him to still be so afraid of everything. And really, how can you blame somebody who's been fucked up like Theon has been fucked up from this show? I'm trying to think, Brando, have I missed any major scenes that I really probably should riff on for a few seconds here? From the finale? I'm trying to think back here. I've watched it 3 times.
Jeez.
Well, I watched it once during the live premiere, and we had like a get-together at Veronica's house, and it was really fun, and some people came over, and we all watched it, but we were all... it was hilarious. We got chips and salsa for the finale, and it was like the quietest fucking episode we had all season. So it was like we were trying to quietly eat the chips and salsa because there was so much dialogue with nothing else happening.
Utilizes, you know, so then you end up being like, there was a Family Guy bit where they were, Peter was hiding with Anne Frank's family. and the Nazis rush in, and they're looking around, and the family's hiding, being all quiet, and all of a sudden you hear crunch. And he's just eating these potato chips, and they're looking at him horrified, and he just looks at them and slowly eats another chip.
They're really good.
Pringles.
I hope the audience really got to convey that chip crunch, because I like planned that. I was like, oh my God, he's going to bring up the chip crunch. I should be able to time this really nicely. I hope it came off really well and didn't sound poorly. I also love that I'm eating Pringles, and it's been almost 4 years later, Pringles.
Jesus.
Isn't that wild, Brando?
It has been 3.5 years, Pringles.
No, but it's only 3 months. It's like 3¾ years. Mm-hmm. If we're splitting hairs here. Because today's the 1st of September.
Yeah.
And you got October, November, December. And then January would be the 4th month. So that would be 1/4.
Yeah, but that was your first episode was Repilot. And then your 3 months later was what? March? April?
I think it was the first week of April, yeah. So yeah, I get what you're saying. But I meant since the very, 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 very... very beginning, the beginning, where it all began. Brando, hey, did you know that you're going to be a guest on another one of the shows I do?
I heard about this.
I'm glad you heard about this. I'm going to be interviewing you on the Voice of Survival podcast soon.
Yeah, dude, I'm really excited to be on that show, especially since the way that it's kind of like timing out where you had, you know, Sarah, and then you know how she got you into comics, you know, not comics, I'm sorry, and she got you like into the idea of podcasting, and then you have what, Josh, he got you to do a podcast. I mean, he got you to even like do one and to start rolling with it, and then to have me come on next, it's such a natural fit, because then shortly after you got rolling, I came aboard, and then we've taken this to a whole new level that we could have never hardly ever imagined at that point in time.
Yeah, man. And I want to mention that, like, having you to be at some point when we're going to do this coming up soon, doing the Voice of Survival with you is going to be like, it could go really long, is what I'm going to say, because we're going to be talking about a lot of chapters that are closed in our lives, and then also talking about this new podcast chapter and it opening up and all, like, some of the behind-the-scenes shit that's gone on there. I'm really looking forward to having you on that. Now, as I record this with you, in 2 days I'm going to be doing Foodies Episode 1 for Season 2. But that's also having happened yesterday. If you're listening to this on launch day, it's confusing timey-wimey travel, folks. But yeah, lots of podcasts on the horizon, Brando.
Lots of podcasts. And of course you can check those all out at JourneyIntoComics.com or on the Journey Into Comics Patreon. Give us $1 or $3 a month, and you can get early access and exclusive content, including our very first one that we did for the month of August. Nate, we recorded the first new episode of Comic Club, which is going to be its own new series exclusive to the Patreon, where we took a deep dive into the first 6 issues, the first volume, so to speak, of The Walking Dead.
Shoot, yeah, we did, Brando. I love The Walking Dead, dude. And we, like I said on that, we get to go back through and reread those books, talk about those books, which we've never really got to do on our show. Of course, you got to be a patron to listen to it, and it's very special because we tried our damnedest, and I think we did a fantastic job. No tangents.
I know, man. We were like, man, like, we are going to keep this going. We're going to keep the ball rolling and stay focused. And only a couple times did we ever get derailed, and actually talked about derailing you on that. I want to say I talked about that on Podcastrophy a bit, because part of why we got derailed, we didn't mention on air, other than the fact that we got good news, but.
Yeah, we had a patron, which was really awesome. Brando, can I ask a question on air live here that I don't know if you're going to be able to answer, but I feel like if we can start figuring out the answer to this, it'll help our international listeners. But can Patreon work for international listeners as well?
You know, I have no idea. I would assume you that it would just convert, but
yeah, dude, I had no idea, and I was wondering that because I know we have people that listen all over the world. I mean, Great Britain, Japan, Guam, Philippines, a whole bunch of places, Australia, freaking Canada. What's up, Canada? What's up to all our people in California that listen? Why aren't you contacting us more, Californians? We love you. We're so happy that you listen to us.
Shout out to all of our Sudanese listeners to the Game Addicts podcast.
Dude, that's awesome news, man.
That was like crazy. When
you sent that to me, and I was just like, whoa, whoa, wow, whoa.
It's not what I was expecting at all to be like the second highest downloaded geographically. You know.
Well, and you know what's crazy about that, too, is because like just to give our listeners some example before you give your example, but like with Journey into Comics, I think 90% of our listeners are in the United States. And then all the other countries are like just sprinkled in there throughout, depending on how many downloads we get over there or whatever. But in this case, Brando, you have a large percentage of Sudanese listeners.
I want to say it's about close to about 40%.
Wow.
Of our episodes have been downloaded in
Sudan. Does that mean you went viral in Sudan?
I must have and not even known it.
How you want me to?
Ah, for real.
Man, that's crazy. Everything that's been going on with the network, Brando, has just made me feel really humbled and grateful because it's been, you know, just under a month since we launched the network. We've got several shows off the ground. We're going to be having brought back all of our shows. The Yawn Menace is happening right now.
It is, man. It's starting to hit me pretty bad, too.
The Phantom Yawn, if you will.
The Phantom Yawn. Attack of the Yawns.
I think I know what our episode title is probably going to end up being. Oh, shit.
Attack of the Yawns, which one?
I like Attack of the Yawns. Or the Phantom Yawn is good, or any of them, really, because I'm impartial.
Revenge of the Yawns. A new yawn.
The Empire Strikes Yawn.
The Yawn Strikes Back. Return of the Yawn. The Yawn Awakens. The Last
Yawn. The Last Yawn. Speaking of The Last Yawn, Brando, it seems that there was... it seems that there was a possible spoiler in some Topps cards. Plus, fuck Funko, Brando. Topps cards, let's get down to it. In a picture for some Topps cards, it looks like we know why Luke is where he is. Why is that?
Well, he flew his X-Wing to this planet. And he just stayed.
No, I think it sank.
Maybe there was a... Oh, no, that's poor twist words right now.
Never mind.
No.
Skip past it.
Yeah, it sunk.
Yeah, and I liked your idea. We talked about it off air. Maybe Rey is going to resurrect it.
Use the Force, Rey. Yeah, she's going to be like, I can't. It's too big. And he's like, that's what she said. And then this movie is all of a sudden not the movie that we thought that we were going to be watching.
What? what if The Last Jedi is totally misleading, and the movie's about all these Jedi that disappeared because they wanted to be thought as, like, killed? And, like, so Luke is like, Rey, I want you to meet my homie, Mace Windu. And because Mace didn't technically, you didn't see him dead, you just saw him fall. We saw Anakin Skywalker fall from a great distance and not die because someone caught him with a speeder. Anything is possible. And of course, then the interesting thing about that is now is that Mace also has mechanical hands like Luke. So sometimes they get their hands mixed up.
He looks like Jax from Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god, yes.
You was funny.
Metal arms.
When you said the word caught by a speeder, I thought for a second that you were just purposely mispronouncing the word spider. He got caught by a speeder. And I'm like, oh wait, no. Never mind. I'm getting too tired for this shit. My brain's going loopy.
So Brando, I wanted to say fuck Funko one more time. I expect them to go under real soon.
Go for it.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
Okay, so do you know what well, as we record this now, it's yesterday, but do you know what today was?
Today was Force Friday 2.
Force Friday 2, right? They announced and released their entire first wave of Star Wars pops from the new movie.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, as I scroll through fucking Funko's fucking stupid Facebook, so many from The Last Jedi. I want to say I counted 20 from the base set. Here, oh, yep, here it is. Okay, so let's go down the line here, folks. They have, if you're a collector of Funko, and you're a collector of Funko Star Wars, which I was at one time, in order to have all the Funkos, you're going to have to get, if this fucking picture will load, of course. Oh, there it goes. You have to get the Rebel 3-pack with Rey, Chewie, and BB-8. The First Order 3-pack with Kylo Ren, Snoke, and BB-9E, which is a BB-8 in black. You have to get the Rebel 4-pack, which includes Luke Skywalker, or the First Order 4-pack, which includes the Executioner First Order Trooper. So that's four different multi-packs you have to get. Plus, there's a BB-8, BB-E-9 2-pack you have to get. Then, so that's five right there to start. Then you have a BB-8, a Porg, a Chase Porg, a Poe Dameron, a BB-E-9, some sort of, I can't read what that says. It says a Praetorian Guard, Executioner First Order, Kylo Ren, Rose, Chewbacca, Supreme Leader Snoke. But wait, there's more, because there's a First Order Snowtrooper, Captain Phasma, a First Order Flame Trooper, which were they're the exact same pops as what they released for fucking The Force Awakens. Literally, they look exactly the same. No difference. Rey, Luke Skywalker, and Finn, but Finn is in Rebellion garb. Heavy Rebellion garb. Hat and everything. Then, we're not done yet. So that was 5 plus how many? We're at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I'm not anywhere close to done. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Still not done. There are still several. So 22 plus we have a Praetorian Guard. Two different Praetorian Guards that are exclusives to Walgreens. DJ, who is exclusive to GameStop. A Kylo Ren that's exclusive to Toys R Us. A Hot Topic Flocked Porg, which is exclusive to Hot Topic, as I said. A glow-in-the-dark Hot Topic Flocked Porg. A flocked, FYE exclusive Chewbacca. A Resistance BB unit, exclusive to Walmart. Princess Leia, exclusive to Walmart. BB-E9 All Chrome, box lunch exclusive. And a Porg exclusive to Target, that's 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33 pops for the base set of The Last Jedi, Brandon, and I am fucking so sick of that. There's no way. That's $330 bare minimum you would have to spend just on The Last Jedi pops.
It is absolutely crazy.
They've oversaturated the market so much, there's no want for me anymore.
Well, I mean, it's such a shame that you have lost something that you once found so much enjoyment in, you know?
I really did, Brando.
Yeah, I know. And I remember you selling off your Marvel collection to finish your Star Wars collection. And you were at one point looking forward to adding to that collection The Last Jedi pops. But to hear you discuss it, and you're just so, you sound so disappointed.
Oh, man, I really am. It's like, I mean, first of all, I'm not made of money anyways. I'm really not made of money anyways. And then third of all, like, the thing is, over half of that 33 were exclusive to a store.
Yeah.
Which means they're automatically more than $10. If it's at Hot Topic, you're paying $15 a pop. There were 5 different Hot Topic pops. That's $75 on just 5. That's ridiculous. You know? It has gotten to the point now where there's no hope for pop vinyl collectors. And I just needed to come on here and say that the market is dying, folks. This is the kind of moves that Funko is making to literally say, I don't care. We think we're untouchable. And I think at some point very soon, this is all going to collapse very harshly.
It's quite possible that it could. And when it does, I will buy those Mass Effect pops.
Yeah, dude, for 50 cents.
Yes, I will hold out and I will have my grunt. My grunt pop, which is way too damn expensive. Because literally, I've quit collecting them. I haven't bought one in like maybe even over a year. And I have no desire to buy one except for my Mass Effect set. I want my damn Mass Effect set, damn it.
Now, does that include the Andromeda pops?
Nah, fuck that. I don't want the Andromeda pops.
I know there's a lot of those. There's like 8 of them.
Yeah, no, I don't even know like what all they. No, I have Shepard, I have Tally, so I need Grunt, I need Garrison, and I need Miranda.
Yeah, so you're almost there, dude. We're not even worried about it, Brando. Well, hey, how long do we go? How long are we going here?
Hold on, let me check. We're at 116.
Okay. Well. What else do you want to talk about today on our Journey into Comics episode, my friend? I just sent you a picture, by the way.
Oh, boy.
In the land of internet worlds. It's nothing damning, I promise. It's not...
Yeah, well, I mean, it will be damning if we don't wrap it up here pretty soon.
Hey, it's not an inconspicuous banana.
That was funny as shit, wasn't it?
It was fucked up. I'll tell you that much right now. But
you know, if that episode makes air, then our audience will definitely hear about it. So,
oh, I cannot wait. I hope. So, Brando, I think we're gonna agree that we probably should get out of here before my iPad dies.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems like I have enough charge when we start talking, and then like 3 hours into the conversation, my battery finally has started to die.
Because we didn't start recording until an hour ago.
Yeah, well, that's the spoils of war, my friend. That's how that goes, I guess.
I guess so.
I don't know what the fuck it has to do with war, but Brando, people can check us out on all kinds of different social media things on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Most always Journey into Comics, Journey into Comics, JIC Network on Twitter, or Journey into Comics Podcast on Facebook. You can get us on Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play Music, Overcast. There's like 100 million different streaming services for, you know, iTunes. Podbean's great. Different places to listen to us if, you know, you're not listening to us on the JourneyIntoComics.com site. Also, you can get exclusive access to exclusive content on our Patreon, plus early access to all of our podcasts across all 8 shows on our Patreon at patreon.com/journeyintocomics. For $1, you get the early access. For $3, you get early access and bonus content that we make just for you and the patrons. And that's what makes it special. Brando, is there anything else you wanted to add today?
Buddy, you hit the nail on the head. The one thing I will say is that the Game Addicts podcast is not on the journeyintocomics.com feed, but you'll have to subscribe to that separately. Just search Game Addicts podcast in your favorite podcasting app, whichever one you like. We're usually there. But we are a part of the Journey to Comics Network Patreon. If you go over there and give us just $1, we have added the Game Addicts in with all those other shows that are there. So if you head on over there and just give us $1 a month, then there's one-stop shop. I mean, it's all right there, all 8 shows.
Yeah, and how cool is it you get Journey into Comics, Game Addicts Podcast, Journey into Wrestling, Foodies Watching Movies, The Voices Survival Podcast, The Poor Report Podcast Trophy, and Butt Stuff under one roof? You never have to go very far if you've got early access. And the nice thing is, we record these sometimes a lot sooner than they actually get released. And if you really chomp at the bit, you need some fresh material to listen to, all your podcast feeds are caught up and you're sick of listening to reruns, come to the network. The best thing to do is give us $1 or $3 and get all this stuff as soon as we're done recording. Brandon's going to start kicking this thing into gear probably, and the next thing I know, it'll be on our Patreon like snap. And I'll be like, holy shit, man, you can already listen to this episode. We just recorded it like 3 minutes ago. Yeah. What the fuck?
Dude, that was one of the coolest things. You know, that's one of the coolest things about changing the way that we recorded. That we recorded for so long, it was just to increase that turnaround time. And literally, you know, if I want to, I can get it done really quickly. And I'm only limited by how fast my laptop can go.
Yeah, and you've been, man, Brandon, I just want to say you've been killing it doing all the editing and things that Brandon does behind the scenes, guys, that you just don't see is just all this, you know, planning all the shows and making sure that other shows get ran properly and going and appearing on shows and doing all the different behind the scenes work of putting together promos and bumpers and network intros and theme songs and all kinds of different shit. Brandon's the hero of Journey into Comics, folks. And I mean, that is the truest thing I can say. I'm you know, you might want to call me 75% hero, but I'm just here.
You just killed me, dude. You just killed me. I think we have a new Baller Minutia character. Like, it's like, who are you? I'm Mr. I'm Brantendo. I'm Westicles. That's Silent Rob. And another dude, we just look at him and he goes, I'm just here.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm no hero. I'm just here.
It's a dude wearing like a Jimmy John's outfit.
Delivering. Dude, can the long-standing joke be that he's trying to earn his O? Oh, shit. That was on the spot. I love that riffage. But if that's going to do it for this week of Journey into Comics, Brando, this was episode 155. We're 45 episodes away from 200.
I know.
Oh, shit. It's like right around the corner.
It just keeps going, man. Which is what happens when we do an episode every week. It's funny because when we start getting slap happy funny, it just becomes like, well, yeah, time passes, dude.
Yeah, time passes. No shit.
That's like your opinion, man.
Man, I don't know, bro. I don't know. But I don't think I have anything else to add this week, Brando.
Me either. It's time to go home.
Yeah, let's go home for this week of Journey into Comics, episode 155. What were we calling this one again?
Attack of the Yawns. Or maybe Attack this one. Maybe this one should be the Phantom Yawn, and then every time that we do an episode that just goes too late and we're slap happy, we should just call it like the next one, like Attack of the Yawn.
I like that. Okay. So this is Journey into Comics, episode 155, The Phantom Yawn. I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
Fill your brains with shit, folks. We'll see you guys later.